33 miles, O come all ye faithful, WWIB, as we come up on 5:45 in the morning on this Monday. And, boy, we haven't had best 5 minutes for a while now, since Wednesday. That's a long break for both of us, and Jason Kanz is back on a 31-degree Monday, November 29th. Good morning.
Good morning.
How was your long holiday?
I was just writing about it this morning. It was relatively boring. And
in a good way,
it was in a good way for sure.
You had animals sleeping on you for much of it, I think.
I did, yeah. So Finn, which is our 6-month-old puppy, spent a good chunk of, I think, Friday or Saturday, I don't remember which day, just laying on me. And so it was wonderful. It's just to be able to do that. And, you know, so often we run and we go once the holidays kick up. And it was good to just kind of sit. I did some reading. I watched some television. I think I did a few chores as well, but it was fairly boring, I think, is a good word to capture it. So, but what about you?
The big thing was going to Milwaukee to Wauwatosa, and even passing by Waukesha, where the tragedy had happened now just 8 mm-hmm. days ago.
Yeah,
and. So, I mean, to be with family and stayed at my sister's for a couple of days. Our big Thanksgiving was Friday night. But here's the deal. My other sister, who she had invited us out for lunch. So here we're having, my plan before having the Thanksgiving dinner at 6:30 on Friday night was not a big lunch, but that's what it turned out. So anyhow, first world problems for sure. First world problems.
Right.
So
yeah.
Anyhow.
Absolutely.
But we had a good time visiting with my mom and stepdad and the family down there. But in the meantime, Advent did get started, I guess. And I don't know, as Larry Crabb fans, his posthumous ministry that his son continues on, trying to inform people as much as they can from his great writings, is largerstory.com. And so they talked about this, that they're going to be offering devotionals. I signed up for them. I don't know if you did, but it said the devotionals.
I have not yet, no.
That are to be sent to you on a daily basis are designed to remind you of and immerse you in the magnitude and beauty of what Jesus made possible when he came to earth, recognizing the first coming of the Lord in the small moments of your everyday and living in the hope of the second coming, guiding us out of the slavery of a small story that's all about ourselves from our birth to our death, to expanding and seeing, it goes from Christ's death to his second coming, or in fact, I guess if you can back it up in the Advent time of the year, from Christ's coming to his return. And they're hoping to answer some of the questions like, how is your life different because Christ came? What's required of you because he came? And will you respond to his invitation? I thought that's helpful.
Yeah, I think that is a helpful way to think about it, you know, and the really spending the next month pondering the incarnation, just the anticipation of Christ's coming. You know, the 2021 wasn't a lot better than 2020 in regard to the division that we see, and to remember that Christ is our hope and that he has come into that place. And I think you're exactly right. How do we live from that place? How do we live from that place of wholeness and understanding of Christ's work in coming? And it's good for us to be reminded of that. I read yesterday something about the hope candle, which is the first one they light with Advent. That candle has to burn the longest. And I thought, wow, yeah, you know, even just pondering that idea, you know, it's the one that has to carry us forward the longest. And I think as Christians, to be reminded of the importance of hope. And that's one of the things that we can do, is to live as hopeful people.
Yeah, for sure. So for our family Bible study yesterday, and God bless my wife for kind of leading this, and we've had a bunch of them now. But, I mean, yeah, we kind of moved away from 1 John into Romans 4. And where, you know, again, it's leading into these wonderful passages about the gospel, but it's laying out against all hope. You know, Abraham, he hoped when there was no hope, right? And so,
right.
And that's
right.
The example for us with salvation. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like I think we'll head. I was going to say, I think you're, I remember that your favorite Christmas song is "O Holy Night," but so we're going to save that
it
one
is.
Now. We're going to save it because since we're talking about hope, how about Carrie Job, "When Hope Came Down"? I think that's the way to go this morning.
Sure. That sounds great.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Good. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There we go, our buddy Jason Kanz. And I want to tell you, you know, consider all of his books. I mean, Soil of the Divine has got poems about each one of the Psalms, all 150 of them. You've got Notes from the Upper Room, the book and the devotional, John 13 through 17, The Living and the Larger Story, The Christian Psychology of Larry Crabb, and then, of course, the six-year work, Letters to the Beloved, the devotional commentary on Matthew through Revelation. So I saw I put a nice picture together of all of them, and so consider those available on Amazon. WWIB, it is coming up on 6:45. We've got Susan here. The party's going on again, and we also have Drew on the line from Michigan, where the Wolverines beat Ohio State.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Hey, hey, how about that?
Pretty excited and happy about that.
Talk about the mood in the state of Michigan after that happened.
Well, so it was kind of interesting timing, right? Because yesterday was my first day of being the pastor at our church. So I got up in front of everybody and I said, hey, guys, I know that you're real sad that the old pastor Jim is gone and it's a new thing. But, you know, he leaves after 10 years and Michigan finally beats Ohio State. Coincidence?
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Might as well take credit for that. Yeah, right.
Embrace the new, you know.
That's
there
right.
You go. There
Great.
You go. Good way to usher in the Frelick era. But you ran another half marathon, I saw.
Yeah, I did. I always do a half marathon the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't know how Detroit's considered we talked about this before, the most unhealthy city in America.
Not because of you, Drew.
No.
Not because of you.
I'm trying to hold it up. I'm fighting against Madison as hard as I can.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But Madison always wins with their bikes and their shorts.
I know. Well, it's Us Laugh Monday, as always, and that's part of why we initially invited you on way back in 2019. Hard to believe. But it's the Christmas season. We're looking for some Christmas humor, and sharing a little Tim Hawkins this morning. Let's listen to this.
For Christmas, last Christmas, I got my daughter. She's 12, and she's awesome. She's just like a little angel. For Christmas, I got her. I splurged. I got her this iPod Nano. You know, it's like $250. I wanted to, because we all love our kids the same. we do. We just don't all like them the same. You know what I'm? Don't you judge me, parents. You know what I'm talking about. Like, I love you. I just don't like that one right now. So I got her this Nano, I wrap it up, I put it on the tree. I was so excited. She opens it up in the morning. She's like, oh, Daddy, this is the wrong one. This is not the right one. And she sit down. Daddy's going to tell you about the cassette.
So anyhow, I just was thinking, I get the Tim Hawkins Christmas mind. Just humor in general, right? I think Tim Hawkins has been here in Eau Claire a couple of times, but just the whole idea of his job as a comedian, besides the onstage thing that everybody sees and the traveling, is observe and talk about it. And you do a lot of that too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's all about just making those connections that, you know, before everyone else makes them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you're telling a joke and somebody in the audience shouts out your punchline before you get to it, or they shout out, you know, this has happened before, this is terrible, when they shout out a better punchline. You know, they shout something out and everyone laughs and you go, wow, I should have gone with that instead. Maybe this guy should be getting paid the headline instead of me.
Yeah.
So, you got to get there before they do. That's the trick, you know?
See, I always like the line from comedian Michael Jr., and he said there's six ways of looking at everything, and so for the comic, they kind of just have a different way of looking at things.
Yeah, you got to go before the audience is there. Drew, you're absolutely right. In improv, they say never go for the easy answer. You cannot underestimate the intelligence of your audience. Mm. Do not do that, because you will always bomb. But if you... It's impossible for me to really underestimate the intelligence of the audience.
My question as we wrap up here this morning is, why is, you know, I think there's a higher standard for comedy because, you know, you can have a cover band and people go, wow, they did a cover band for the Beatles or Johnny Cash.
Right.
But you don't say, hey, I'm going to do cover comedy for, you know, Bob Hope. I mean, it's just like, no, they want your own fresh material, right?
Well, so. No, we all do it. I mean, mm-hmm. we all, there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like you steal jokes, but there are ideas that kind of stimulate other ideas.
Yeah, right.
So at the end of every idea probably is Bob Hope.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the first Sunday.
Yeah, you think you came up with. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead what you were saying.
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, you think you came up with something original, and then you find out, you know, oh, this has been done before, you know, 100 times.
Exactly.
So it's not easy.
Yeah, there you go.
Great minds.
All right, so your first Sunday at the church went well? Wrap it up with that.
It was good. They're hanging in there, you know. They're tolerating me for one more week, so we'll see how we go.
Maybe they'll buy that you brought in the Michigan win. So with that, you're off to a good start.
They're
we'll talk
lucky
to you next
week. Well, then they'll hire me full time. That'd be problematic, yeah.
There we go. Thanks, Drew.
In motion, Devontae to the left, Rodgers in the shotgun, Dylan to his right. Give Dylan, and why not? Take to Dylan, rolling right, Rodgers to the end zone. Touchdown, bad foot and all. Aaron Rodgers with a beautiful play fake.
Wayne Larrivee there on the Packers Radio Network as Aaron Rodgers runs one in despite that fractured pinky toe on his foot. The Green Bay Packers bounce back nicely from their loss against Minnesota to defeat the L.A. Rams 36-28. Rodgers afterwards said,
"Now look, when I step on the field, I expect greatness. I think anyone who's a great competitor feels the same way. So, you know, I don't lean on excuses and not practicing, a little toe injury. You know, I expect greatness when I take the field. And, you know, it definitely isn't the ideal situation not to practice. But I can go out there and take mental reps and go through the plan and my preparation and feel good about what I'm doing. And when I get out there, I just got to rely on my instincts."
The Packers have finally made it to the bye week. They'll be off until December 12th when the Chicago Bears come to town.
You know, when the three of us get here behind the microphone, I expect greatness.
I was just thinking that. It's like when I step over the threshold of that studio.
I'm about to go on injured reserve with this throat. It's a nagging throat injury.
If you can play with a pinky toe injury, you can play and perform very well. I'm confident of it.
I can expect greatness, but what comes out?
What are we going to get, though?
Exactly. Weekend recap. I'm just so excited.
4-day weekend.
Yeah, it was a 4-day weekend. Mine had sort of an inauspicious start with a couple things that went wrong, but I cooked the driest turkey known to man.
Wow. So did Guinness knock on your door
afterwards? That's the bad. I always cook in my grandmother's Nesco roaster, and instead of finding the instruction book, I just went on the internet, which is basically, if you think about it, if we went out in the parking lot with a bullhorn and said, "Hey, does anyone know how to cook a turkey?" We just get random advice. I chose the wrong advice. Super dry turkey. The good news is I found out my family is extremely polite and choked it down anyway, saying, "No, it's delicious."
Right on.
Could I have some more water? More gravy?
Can't you mix it in with the potatoes and the gravy and...
They did their best.
Okay.
It was like a desiccant. It just absorbed all the moisture. Anyway. Mm. Yeah, so it was fun. We were together, and that's what matters. It was lovely.
We headed to Milwaukee, and one of the things I enjoyed, we interviewed Mitch Albom Wednesday.
Yes.
We have finished the book, at least Peggy and I, Dawson and Evelyn, listen. I got to read as Peggy drove, so 3 hours worth probably to Madison. I'm reading the first half of it.
You should
do audiobooks.
Then we
had to wait for a couple of days.
Okay.
And came back and finished it up on Saturday. So that was good. Particularly enjoyed the dark meat from the turkey that my brother-in-law made, the Delta Airline pilot. He and my sister Julie did a great job hosting about 28 people. So that was was a lot of fun. So we had a good time seeing family.
Did you know dark meat can even be dry?
Is that possible?
I did it.
Wow.
Okay, well, I bet it was better than you're saying. That's all.
I'm glad that you had that fun time. And just the ride down, the ride back as your kids are getting older, those days are precious. So I'm so glad you had that.
Yeah, I enjoyed the four-day weekend as well, too, and spent a lot of time at grandmother's house, right? My mom. So, Thanksgiving and then a good portion of Saturday we spent there as well because it was my sister Rachel's 30th birthday. And so it was great to be able to spend some time with her and her kids. And Sunday, watching the Packers game, great to see a win. Our poor Badgers struggled a little bit Saturday night, so it was a salve for those wounds. And it was what was really fun, too, is being as spread out as we are in different game times and things like that. I think it was just the second time that my dad, my brothers, and I all got to watch a Packers game together.
Nice.
So it was just really special to be able to do that.
Love that.
Yeah, lots of time with family. Cooper spent a lot of time. I mean, just every moment that he had to break outside and get the uncles to play football with him, he thoroughly enjoyed that. And I've loved hearing some of the Christmas music starting here on the station as well, too. So a great weekend and enjoyed the long 4-day weekend. Ready to get back at it.
I enjoyed the video from your family, from your brother, but so good with the Ben Rector Thanksgiving song.
Yeah. I heard we were, I don't know, but doing some sort of preparations and my brother can play about anything on the piano. And I heard him playing that. I'm like, that's my favorite Thanksgiving song. And and then he said, well, I wanted to do a video. So that was a lot of fun.
Your
to see
family's
that put
a perfect one for it too, because there's so many there.
Yeah, there's a lot of musical talent. Not me, but I did help run the camera a little bit. Yep. So there's something.
A Make Us Laugh Monday, WWIB, 10 in front of 8 o'clock. We've got our best 9 jokes. Here we go. 3 male dogs are walking down the street when they see a beautiful female poodle, and they all scramble to reach her first but end up arriving in front of her at the same time. Aware of her obvious effect on the suitors, she tells them, "The first one who uses the words liver and cheese together in an imaginative sentence can go out with me." Well, the golden retriever blurts out, "I love liver and cheese." "Oh, how childish," says the poodle. The Labrador tries next. "I hate liver and cheese." My, says the poodle. "I guess it's hopeless." She then turns to the last of the 3 dogs and says, "How about you, little guy?" The Yorkie, tiny in stature but big in finesse, gives her a smile and a sly wink, turns to the other dogs and says, "Liver alone, cheese mine."
I love that. What do frogs in Paris eat?
What?
French flies.
Oh, man. Make Us Laugh Monday here in the WIB Wake Up Show. So I went to see a play about fly fishing over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah, the cast was amazing.
There you go. All right, I'm going to go short, sweet, and to the point. In the Old Testament, before Boaz was married, was he ruthless?
Yes, he was ruthless. So I was parallel parking downtown, and I was kind of insecure about it because it's very tricky. But I actually got a compliment. When I went back to my car, there was a little note on the dash that said, "Driving fine."
Thank you very much.
Oh, man. All right. I've got a groaner here.
Should have been parking fine is what I meant to say.
What do you call birds that stick together?
What?
Velcros.
Yes.
Okay, that's funny.
Someone's 5-year-old after that.
A guy tells his friend, "I bought my wife a diamond ring." "Well, you told me she wanted a car," the friend replies. "Yeah," says the first guy, "but where would I find a fake car?"
How do you say no movies in Russian?
How?
Netflix.
I'm trying to save my throat, so I don't want to laugh.
Thank you, that's funny.
Finally, what kind of person wears 2 watches at once?
I don't know.
Someone with too much time on their hands.
Yes. I liked them, guys. I think the break helped us.
We had longer to find the jokes.
Helped
today,
you.
So.
Helped you. Oh, Canada. We didn't even know that we needed you to do this. But guess what? There has been a shortage of reasonably priced maple syrup. The market has been a little tight. So Canada, in its wisdom, has stockpiled 50 million pounds of maple syrup in a strategic reserve, and they have decided that they are going to start releasing that into the market.
The Zambonis are just dragging it all out to markets. And
We tap our gas reserves. They tap their surf
reserves. Some people may have gold or silver natural gas, oil, but Canada, maple syrup. Thank you. Bless you, Canada.
I just imagine these huge underground vats that are filled with maple
with huge
syrup.
Vault doors. Yes.
But, I mean, it's the world because they have over 70% of the world's maple syrup.
Comes from Quebec.
Wow. Yeah.
That's right. And guess who their number one customer is?
The U.S.?
The U.S. Yeah. Even though we make delicious maple syrup in Wisconsin mm-hmm. and Maine and mm-hmm. Vermont, we are still their number one customer. So I just thought that was a really cool thing that they have enough maple syrup to kind of keep us all happy.
Thank you, Canada. It's very neighborly.
Huge maple syrup fan. It is it's so good.
It's delicious. I also have a little short thing. I found this article, and this is really interesting. If you let your battery run down on your phone, it really does help to put your battery in airplane mode if you want it to charge faster. That is not a myth. It's true. Because when your phone's in airplane mode, it uses less energy, so it's going to charge a lot faster. To
fun
me,
fact.
That's a life-saving
charge it
tip.
In airplane
I'm
mode
not
while
a
you're eating your waffles with maple syrup.
Before Thanksgiving, we let you know what not to eat before you get on an airplane. And now, airplane mode. You never know what you're going to hear on the Whib Wake Up Show.
Too random.
Well, the Whib Wake Up Show, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but here near the tail end of the morning show. Grieving the loss of a dear friend, very well known across the Chippewa Valley and beyond, our friend Kathy Butler went to be with the Lord. I learned about it on the drive back from Milwaukee checking Facebook on Saturday. And our own Pat Wall, his wife Anita, posting on Facebook saying, very sad to hear a friend. Kathy Butler is gone from us. We celebrated her 80th birthday last summer, but kept working, holding meetings, counseling, and loving so many people each week. She has really blessed our family this year. Such an amazing heart for God and people. And now Anita says it's time for us to carry on helping others like she did. I mean, she was a longtime AODA counselor. I know mother to six, grandmother to many more. And her kids would stretch from her son, who I think serving as a missionary in Japan, to children in Texas and elsewhere. And but she was a long, I knew over the years, she enjoyed sports. But unfortunately for football, it was more the Vikings and the Bears. So she had some ties, I think, to Illinois. And anyhow, she was a NASCAR fan. But she was so full of life and vibrancy. The last message I got from her was a couple weeks ago. She was going to this retreat, I think a Sela retreat in Withy. But she was in this studio many times on Front Page. For a while, we did a thing called the Counseling Kathys. And it was her and Kathy Benson, both counselors, both named Kathy. So why not? And I remember even after the passing of Michael Jackson that she was on and we were talking about, prescription drug abuse. I mean, she was a brave and courageous woman. The thing I go back to, I think so many, and I saw so many tributes over the weekend, is in terms of so full of life and the joy of the Lord. And she was passionate in terms of her sanctity for life.
Right.
I went back and saw a couple of messages, one from earlier this year where she messaged on Facebook and she just said, thinking of you, love you and your family. And it meant a lot to me. Somebody else over the weekend had commented on a number of these and they said, Mark, she really loved you and Peggy. So that was really cool to hear. And I went back even to, 2019, we would talk politics and things. And she said, what do you think about this? And she said, you know what? I'm just going to trust Jesus. And when it's all said and done, it doesn't get any smarter or better than that,
No.
So I'm so grateful. I know everybody who knew her, loved her, met her, she impacted in so many ways, is grateful for a life well-lived Kathy Butler.
Oh, thank you, Mark. And I don't know about the listeners, but when I hear a story about that, how you're summing up her life, it really makes me want to do better and to think, what will people say? And when you have an AODA ministry, which is what it was, her faith, saying the hard thing, actually helping God in his mission to turn lives around, she was doing it to the very end, which shows how much it meant to her.
Yeah.
So just thank you for that. Thank you for telling us a little bit about a godly woman who we'll see again one
day. Yes, a beautiful soul.
And as Matthew West would say, don't live this life where you'll end up asking the question, what if? A life well lived, we celebrated today.